Bradwell Garananga, thank you very much indeed for talking to the implications of regional climate variability on water resources in Africa podcast series today. Just tell us a little bit about the 15 countries you've been studying in Africa in terms of water resources.
Well, I think virtually all the countries do have their socioeconomic activities pinned by agricultural production, which is rain-fed. So really, it's issues of water availability and its its variation in space and time is quite important in the region, because we have had cases where there's too little of the water or too much of it, and those extremes wreak havoc in most of the countries in the sub-region.
And what's your most recent study has been about?
Well, basically we've been looking at the climate trends in terms actually of rainfall. So we're actually doing it on a continuing basis, on a monitoring basis, season in, season out. So we look at the rainfall and make projections of rainfall for the season by way of forecasting. So what has actually been happening is that most of the region has experienced in the last several years, I think, a diminution of water in terms of the rivers have shrunk. I mean, they've gone drier most of the time. But as I said, occasionally there are these spurts of flooding that are caused in the region by tropical cyclones, etc.
Now, can you categorically say that those drought situations that you've been looking at are due to climate change and climate variability?
In fact, yes. I mean, really, by its definition, I mean, climate variability is going to show all the extremes in climate. That is overabundance of water one time and diminution of it on the other times. But what's been really happening now, I think, is those extremes have become more amplified and more frequent. So we could attribute to some extent that to trends in the climate changes that are now quite topical across the whole world. So there is, I think, in a way, evidence of the impacts of climate change, if you will, in the region. But of course, even by just variation itself, it does have, natural variation can also, show all those extremes as well.
Now, we've got a lot of people gathered here at Cambridge University for 3 days. They're doing a lot of different research in different countries in Africa. Now how do we know that actually those surveys, that research, will actually have applications in the future? Do you think that we can say that as a result of knowing that there's seasonal variations, the seasonal variations are getting greater because of climate change, that we can actually adapt?
Well, I think those surveys are a good starting point. Once we get the information, the knowledge base, if it improves, I think eventually it will filter into the policy formulations, and then when those policies are informed by science, I think they are bound to then be more robust. So really, this is a whole process. It may not happen overnight. Certainly, there are many other challenges that are competing for resources and attention in Africa, but I'm sure over time, we'll have a situation where really this meeting can be a good starting point or part of a process that will lead to appropriate policy formulations in order that people will adapt better to climatic changes.
Now, you say you work in 15 different countries in Africa, but do you think we can have national policies, regional policies, or are the solutions particularly local? Does it depend on what local people are doing to adapt and change to climate change?
Well, I think in the final analysis, the adaptation is done at local level. However, I think you need to have like sort of an envelope in which you are operating, So the guidelines really could be coming from a regional perspective, a national perspective, just so that everybody has an understanding of what they're supposed to do, how they fit in the scheme of things. So I think regional approach is a good starting point. But, of course, that is as long as they eventually filter into making a difference to the person on the ground.
Would it be a problem to get people to work together in communities? Communities may be very factionalized. They may be very small groups of people. What do you think the major problems will be in the future?
Well, I really do not think that the people are that fragmented. I think from a cultural point of view, really, at least from the region I'm coming from, people are very cooperative in many cases. In fact, their traditions have demonstrated over time and even up to now that at the rural level, at least, people are cooperating all the time. So I do not see any conflict at all as this approach is applied across the region.
Now, we've talked a lot about the climate variations, whether it's drought or flooding in Africa. But why Africa? Why is Africa subject to these type of problems now?
It's probably not a very easy question, but I think what perhaps these things are happening in other parts of the world as well. But I think it's the level of economic activity also then explains, you know, how vulnerable we can be in Africa, because I think we sit over many resources, yes, but sometimes it's perhaps a question of how the economies have to run efficiently and how, you know, the trade terms and so on should be such that they allow Africa to leverage something so that I think they are able to then cushion themselves using their own means against the vagaries of climate and weather.
So it's just the vastness, really, of Africa and what it embraces and the state of change it's at as well.
Yes and no. It's a vast continent. True, it has got its peculiarities, even filtering through to the country level. But I think there is also a common thread around it, which is that the economic activity has to really move up several gears in order that they all benefit from the new technologies, etc.
I know you've got to get back to the conference and we can hear everybody talking around us. Are you optimistic or pessimistic about finding solutions in the future? We've got a lot of, as I say, country-based research data, needs to improve data, needs to collect historical data. But will all of this help in time?
Yes, actually, it will help. I'm not one person who's pessimist at all. I'm actually optimistic, but not unduly so. I mean, I think I'm realistic, yes. It will take time, but I'm sure we'll get there in Africa. There will be, I think, a situation in where we are able to take advantage and actually operationalize some of the tools that this type of forum provides in the end. So I think we'll be much better off as a result of these initiatives at some future time.
Like the conference today. But just one final question, Dr. Garaganga. One story that's given you hope, if you're an optimist, and we talk today about the power of story, and in fact people have been talking about it here, is there one thing that you've observed happening in the communities you visit that you think, yes, that's change, that's adaptation, and it will help us cope with climate change?
Well, as it is now, I think in the past people didn't pay a lot of attention to climatic information. It was more like an academic process in play from their point of view. But now, interacting with various member states in the study community, they are really prioritizing climate information, climate service. So to me, that's really something that is already going on. That's the change that is already there, that we are mainstreaming very broadly climate service in the development patterns and at rural level, that is happening. So I think it's already a positive.
So your story is about doors opening to you, that people are opening up and they're inviting you in and they're mainstreaming the work that you do.
They're actually using the information in order that they make strategic decisions on how they are planning their activities, agricultural activities or water resource management, etc., etc. They are really using that information, so I think quite pleased from a climate community point of view that at least there's a major difference from 10 years ago on, you know, how information is now being, you know, the uptake of information of climate by the user communities is quite high now.
Well, Dr. Bradwell Garaganga, we'll let you get back to the conference. That is indeed a story of hope. Thank you very much indeed for talking to me for the implications of regional climate variability on water resources in Africa podcast series today. Thank you.
Thank you. My pleasure.